You're listening to episode 81 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we talk about how to bust through that all or nothing diet trap.
I'm Master Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So today we're going to dive into the topic of how do we get out of all or nothing thinking? Because this is something that all my clients struggle with. They're either all in or they're all out. We're either on the wagon 100% or we're off. And really what this comes down to is there's a couple of key things here. Number one, all or nothing really stems from perfectionism. And it's this thought that I have to do it perfectly 100% or it won't work. So whether it's past diets that you've been on, how you've been trained, how you grew up with school, or maybe in your career, there's been this thought, I can't make a mistake. It has to be perfect. It has to be 100%. And if I can't do it perfectly and 100%, then why bother keep trying? Because your effort will be in vain, right? So it's this idea that if I'm not perfect, I'm not going to get the result that I want. So then, of course, when this is our logic, it makes a lot of sense that we'd struggle to get back on track after small mistakes because your brain is trying to keep you from pain, especially pain that won't result in any tangible reward. If you keep telling yourself, well, I have to be perfect, I have to do it 100%, of course, you're going to jump fully off the wagon if you're not doing it 100%. And I really identify here as a recovering perfectionist. I still see my perfectionist tendencies creep in here and there. I totally still see it. And usually perfectionism is often tied to things like shame, self-loathing, beating yourself up after making a mistake, especially when it's a mistake that you've made before. And so this can bring up thoughts of I'm not good enough because I'm not perfect, or I'm not good enough because I'm not hitting my goals, or I'm not hitting them fast enough. And it really turns inward. So shame is that inward, there is something fundamentally wrong with me, whereas guilt or remorse or regret is more, I didn't do the right thing, I didn't show up the way I wanted, I did the thing that I didn't want to do. And so this makes it really difficult to assess when we are stuck in shame and self-loathing because we never learn from our mistakes. We feel so much internal struggle that rather than being able to learn from it and view it without that weighty feeling of shame, we just avoid it altogether. It's like, well, that happened. Let's not look at it. Don't make eye contact. And we'll just pretend like it went away. It didn't exist. It didn't happen. Let's just try again tomorrow. And this keeps us in the trap of tomorrow thinking because we keep thinking tomorrow I can be perfect. Tomorrow will be different. Tomorrow things will magically change. And we think that's magically going to go away. Like with the right information, this will just disappear. If I just had more information, then my habits will change. Information never changes habits. Circumstances never change habits. It's how you're thinking about it. It's how you feel in the moment that's truly driving your action or inaction. And again, one of the things here, which I'll be talking more about, is understanding this from a trauma response standpoint. We can be wanting to take certain action, wanting to do certain things, but not able to because our brain senses danger. And whether we think that it's logical or not, it has this internal subconscious sense of this is dangerous. So it's going to keep you avoiding it, especially if there's fear of failure when you usually would go into shame. We really have to create so much self-love and self-trust and compassion for ourselves in order to be able to move through this. So you're not alone if you're somebody who feels like you're either all in or you're all out. There's no middle ground. What I want to help you do is to find that middle ground. That is the key. That is the goal, is to really look at perfection is not required. And how do I now create safety for myself when I'm not perfect and talk to myself in a way that lifts myself up, that's encouraging, that's motivating, that gets me back into action, that has compassion and love when I'm feeling down or I'm feeling low or I'm feeling frustrated, even if I'm frustrated with myself. I want to introduce this concept of the phases of change because we can know what to do, but we're just not doing it. And we can know what we want to be doing. And if we keep thinking, I have to do it all, otherwise it's not good enough. I have to be doing all the things. Like I can't just focus on sleep and water. I really have to be doing everything, Jillian says. Otherwise, it's not good enough. Otherwise, I'm not going to see results. We really stop ourselves from being able to make the true progress that we want to take. Phases of change. So this is how it works. We start with phase one is 20% of the time you are doing what you want to be doing. You're doing what you think is right, but 80% of the time you're not. You're either unsure of exactly what to do. You're not totally sold on the idea. Maybe you think it's too hard. Maybe you're thinking it would be too easy just to be able to do that. So 80% of the time, you're not taking the action. You might know what you want to do, but you're just not doing it. But 20% of the time you are. And this is our starting point. A lot of times we think that we should be starting and doing it 75, 85, 95% of the time. But when we are just starting out with a new habit, it is not realistic to expect yourself to be doing something 80% of the time or more, 60% of the time or more. And this is often what leads to this on-off cycle, this all-or-nothing cycle, is unrealistic expectations. So we need to reset our expectations to start with 20-80. 20% of the time, I'm doing what I think I should be doing, what I know I should be doing, what I want to be doing, 20%. And then from there, we improve. So the more that we can evaluate, assess, learn, figure out what will I try differently next time without beating ourselves up, from a place of curiosity and compassion rather than shame, blame, and judgment, the more we get better and better. And then we start to move to 40-60. So now we're in phase two. Now we're in 40% of the time I'm showing up and doing the things that I want to be doing consistently, and 60% of the time I'm not. So we're still not even following through 50% of the time. More often than not, we are not doing the things. There still might be some uncertainty. There still might be some self-doubt. There still might be some places where you're like, I'm not totally sure what the next step is, or I'm not sure if I'm doing the right things. There's still some indecision. There's still some confusion, but you are still getting some things right. And you can see the progress. You can see how you're getting better. And then we shift into phase three, which is now it flips and you're now doing the things 60% of the time. And then 40% of the time you're not. More often than not, I'm showing up, I'm doing the things, I'm taking the action, but 40%, I'm still not doing those things. I still know what to do. I'm just not doing it. Okay, 40%, that's still a pretty significant amount, but you're making progress. And now you can see how far you've come. And when you keep focusing on this is normal, this is how it works, this is how you move through change, this is how you create a new habit, there is so much more compassion and understanding for yourself because the expectation was not to get to 80%. The expectation is for you to stay right there at 60% and you keep evaluating and learning and trying new things. You have your own back. You talk to yourself better and you're willing to go out on the ledge. You're willing to try something different. You're willing to fail or make a mistake because you are no longer going to be throwing yourself under the bus and then running yourself back over in that bus. You are not only the driver of the bus who's running yourself over, but you are also that little splashed, smattered stick figure underneath it. It's like when we take ourselves out of those roles, we now can make this progress and we can make it faster. Because then from there, we move into 80%. 80% of the time, I'm showing up and doing what I want to be doing, and 20% of the time, I'm not. 80% for a significant amount of the time, I'm doing the things. I'm listening for hunger. I'm stopping when I'm satisfied. 20% of the time, I'm still eating off plan. I still might be overeating. I still might not be getting in my water, or I still might be struggling with certain habits, or maybe we can think about it from a daily perspective as well as a year perspective of like sometimes we go through different phases of life where it just feels harder to sleep, where it's harder to get in enough water, where it's harder to listen to and allow an urge and not give into it. That's okay. This is all about moving from this 20% being on track to now 80% being on track. This is how we do it. We have to give ourselves time to move through these phases. Okay, you give yourself time to improve, you give yourself time to implement, and you are doing the implementation and the changing. It's 1% changes at a time. You don't have to go out there and make these big, massive changes. In fact, that is usually what leads you to failure. You are getting 1% better day after day. 1% better. You're talking to yourself just a little bit better every single day. You're focusing on what one thing am I proud of myself for yesterday? What one thing do I like about myself today? You're learning, you're assessing, you're figuring it out, you're doing things differently, you're finding your own way. And the really cool thing about when you get to the 80% on track, This is when you truly are finding what works for you. You're no longer just listening to what other people say, what other people recommend, but you've figured out this is what works for me and my lifestyle. This is how I do my best. So even though somebody might be preaching that you should exercise at 8 a.m. or first thing when you wake up, you might know, hey, I am not a morning person. I'm going to exercise at 6 p.m. or maybe even 8 p.m. because that's when you feel best. That's when maybe your schedule allows you to do it. Or vice versa. I am not a night person. I am not somebody who can be up late at night thinking or writing content or things like that at 10 p.m. That's not for me. I have some clients, though, who love working late at night. That 10 p.m. to midnight or 2 a.m. within those hours, they love working during those hours. It's awesome. They can work with that. They can use that as a strength and stop trying to fit themselves into some kind of a bucket that doesn't exist. And quite frankly, they don't really need to fit into. The reason why this works is that we give ourselves time to change habits. We give ourselves time to practice, to learn new things, to get it wrong, to try again. And you also change your self-concept. You give yourself time to change who you are, which is ultimately what creates the long-term change of how you show up. And I did a podcast on this a few weeks ago about changing your self-concept, actually from the last week of February. This is an important piece about creating results and being able to maintain them, is starting to show up as the person who has the results. It's totally different when somebody can go out there and, let's say, make $100,000 and they know how to do that on repeat versus somebody who won $100,000 and now they have no clue how to make more money, how they're going to keep it, how they're going to spend it wisely. It's the same thing about losing weight. There's a difference between learning how to lose 20 pounds or 40 pounds or 60 pounds and keep it off versus magically you've lost all this weight, but now you don't know how to maintain it. You don't know what to do. It doesn't fit your lifestyle. You don't want to keep doing that again. This weekend, it was interesting actually watching Caleb and Zach play video games. And a couple weeks ago, Zach introduced Caleb to Mario Brothers. And I don't know what exactly they're playing. I was never a huge video game person growing up. So that's you're just going to have to bear with me and this example and analogy because I really don't know them very well. The only video game, and this is just a side note, the only video game I think I'm good at is Mortal Kombat from like way back in the 90s. And the only reason I'm good at that is the one game where all you have to do is just press a bunch of buttons randomly and you can beat the other person. That is my strategy of like, I'm just going to keep pressing these buttons over and over again. And eventually I will beat you. Anyways, Caleb started playing Mario Brothers with Zach. And after a couple days of playing, after a couple different times, Caleb said he wanted to beat the pirate ship. But Caleb is not skilled enough to beat the pirate ship. He's not at that level. The pirate ship is something you do at the end after you've built up so many lives and you've collected mushrooms and they have different superpowers and they're building their skill level. But he's not at the level right now where he can go and just beat the pirate ship. But this is often how we try to approach things like habit change, weight loss, building a business, or getting out of a relationship. We think that, oh, we see other people playing at this level 50 and we think that's where we need to be. Like, oh, I want to do that too. But really, we are at level 5, and that's okay. You need that experience of going from level 5 up to level 10, and then from level 10 to level 15, and making these incremental steps until you get to level 50, and then it becomes so much easier to play at that level and to beat it. Now, I'm totally just making up the levels here. I don't know if that's how Mario works or not. I thought this was a great analogy, and I was like, I really don't know exactly what I'm talking about here, but I feel like there's some value in this example. If we go back to this concept of what can you do for the rest of your life without hating your life, the key thing here is that this will change over time. This is how you go from 20% on plan and on track to 40%, to 60%, to 80%. This is how you move through it, is you look at what can I do consistently? What today feels like I could do this for the rest of my life? And I know that this will grow and improve and change. And if that is the case, you are doing it right. It's never that you do one thing and then you're like, okay, that's it for the rest of my life, forever and ever, amen. You get better and better. What I could do after a month of working on my emotional eating looked different than what I could do 6 months after starting to work on my emotional eating, which looked a lot different than 12 months after. We need that time. We need that experience. There was a time when I wasn't ready to give up my ice cream every night, but now it's something that I tend to have it maybe once or twice a month instead of every single night. because I gave myself that time. I gave myself the opportunity to grow. And I made those 1% changes of like, all right, maybe I'm going to cut back on how much I'm eating. Let me start, because I didn't even cut back on how many nights per week I ate ice cream. I started with, let me put it in a bowl. Let me stop eating ice cream out of the container with a spoon and let me actually portion it out into a bowl. And then when I have cravings and urges to go back for more, I remind myself I can have some more tomorrow. That's where I started. I was still eating ice cream basically every single night, even as a weight loss coach. But I noticed that wasn't that it was making me overweight. The problem wasn't the ice cream, but I noticed that I wasn't truly hungry for it. I noticed that I was overeating. I was emotionally eating. I was using ice cream as my primary source of joy and pleasure during the day. And a lot of that, again, it doesn't stem from the food. Food is not the problem. It was my thoughts. It was my thoughts about my body. It was thoughts about my relationship. It was thoughts about my business or my job, my career. I should be doing something different. I should be further along by now. It was a lot of shoulds. I kept arguing with reality. But now, because I worked on these other things, I'm at a place where I don't need ice cream all the time. And that is one of those examples. Same thing. I also talk about changing my coffee habit and going from drinking mochas in the morning to drinking black coffee, where if I want a mocha, I'll have it as a decaf mocha in the afternoon. And I started by cutting back on how much cocoa powder I used. I cut back on what kinds of creamers or sweeteners and things that I would put in there. And then I ended up traveling after about, 4 to 6 weeks, I traveled and then I was like, I guess I'm just going to drink black coffee in the morning because that's easier. And when I went home, I could have kept that habit of, okay, I guess I'm just going to be a black coffee drinker in the morning now. And I still chose to go back to making my mochas. And I still made them a little bit better. I eventually switched from using those Swiss Miss hot cocoa packets to using dark cocoa powder until I got to the point where I was very happy and content to be drinking black coffee in the morning. And now that's what I drink. In the morning, it's just black coffee or black tea, but it came with these small little incremental shifts. That's how you can do it too. The shift came because I didn't just focus on the food. I focused on how do I want to live my life? How do I create more enjoyment and pleasure in my life so that I'm not seeking it at the bottom of a pint of ice cream? The final aspect here that I want to talk about with these phases of change and going from 20% on track to 80%, I want you to notice what is not on this spectrum. I always hate questions like this where they're like, tell me what's not here. And I'm like, oh my gosh. 100% is not on the spectrum. Perfectionism is not required. And that is something I want to note and I want to point out here because this is important for us to see. We never have to be 100% on track, nor will we probably ever. There might be some days where we're like, hell yeah, I hit it 100%. I am crushing it. And that's great, but that is not the long-term expectation. Okay, so we still want to do our best, but we are not expecting it. We don't need it in order to feel good about ourselves. And this is important too, especially when we talk about things like to-do lists and feeling good with getting 2 things checked off of your list. Even if you still have 12 more that need to get done, you are still making progress. And if there truly are 14 things that you want to do during the week, schedule 2 per day. I'm going to do a whole thing around time management and calendaring, scheduling, things like that. But if you have 14 items on your list, I guarantee not all 14 need to be done today. And if all 14 need to be done today, there are much bigger issues that we need to be talking about. So 100% perfectionism is not required here. And the more that you can truly believe this, like in the core of who you are, the easier it becomes to let go of this all or nothing thinking, to step off of the diet wagon and to just to decide, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to figure out what works for me. Part of it is that we want to create and implement a plan where perfection is not required. So this means specifically looking at what plans require perfection, otherwise you're not going to hit a goal, and choosing not to do them, choosing to find another way, intentionally creating this. One of the issues that I think we see is it's I can be perfect if I can do 100%. If I can do these really big things really fast, I'm going to hit my goal faster. So we really want to understand, what am I making hitting my goal mean? Why am I putting so much weight and value and stock in this goal? What am I making this goal mean about me? That's where we can really dig in. And that is the value that I bring as a coach, is not just to help you achieve your goals, but to help you understand why you are trying to achieve them and where you might be putting extra self-worth or value in a place where it may not be needed and may not be healthy for you to keep it there, to keep your self-worth and your value resting on some other thing, some circumstance in life. But the other way that we move out of this type of thinking and this diet trap is that we learn to have our own back. And this is what I mean when I say we build our self-trust. Trust that I'm not going to throw myself under the bus. Trust that I'm not going to keep running myself other. Trust that I'm not going to be thinking about it later and beating myself up inside. This means that number one, you're not talking to yourself like a total jackass when you make a mistake. You create an evaluation process so that you can identify what did you learn, what will you do differently next time. And you can do this with your wins, with your successes, and your failures. What did you learn? What will you do differently next time? What will you do more of next time? What will you do less of next time? This is how we get better. This is how we move from 20% to 40 to 60 to 80. This is ultimately how we move across this spectrum. This is how we achieve a habit, is with an assessment and evaluation process like this. And the other aspect here is that it requires you to increase your self-love so that you can improve your self-talk. You're not being apathetic. You're not like, that happened, I'll just try harder tomorrow. There's this middle ground between apathy and shame, right? It's like we have apathy on one end and shame and self-loathing on the other. And we can find this middle ground to where we have self-love, we have compassion, we have our own back. We're not being a total jackass to ourselves, but we are learning. We are figuring things out. We aren't sitting in all of our excuses. And the last thing here is that we want to adjust our expectations. Adjust them of yourself, maybe as a whole, and then also adjusting your expectations based on the phase of life that you are in now. And this is really important because so often it's really easy to look around at what other people are doing and think that you should be at that same level. You should be doing more. And this is interesting too, because I've even looked at other people where I'm like, oh my gosh, she's 1 year older than me and she's making over $1 million a year. Why am I not doing that? We can use it to fuel us into, wow, this is possible. I can do this too, even if it does take me longer, even if I'm not the same age, even if I'm starting from a different point. I was like, I can use other people to fuel my inspiration of what's possible, or I can use it to turn inward and think about all the ways in which I'm not measuring up. I should be further along. I should have figured this out by now. All of the shoulds, we just keep shoulding all over ourselves. And that's what we need to break, is that habit. And this is why I am a life coach and not just weight loss. I'm not just a nutritionist. I don't just tell you what to eat. We have to work on your thoughts about yourself, your thoughts about food, your thoughts about your goals, your thoughts about your ability to achieve your goals, your expectations of what you think should be happening, because everybody is on a different path. And some people's paths look straighter than others. Some people's paths look longer or shorter than others. Some people have a few extra stops along the way, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your path. It just means that yours is a little bit different than somebody else's. And the more that we can understand that, the more we can have that love and compassion for ourselves, talk to ourselves better, build self-trust, really stand up for ourselves when our inner critic wants to speak out and blame, shame, and judge, even when it's within our own mind. We still are nice. We still have our own back to ourselves, to those inner critic parts, as well as to the external voices that you might be hearing as well. This is something that you would like help with. If you are really wanting to break this all or nothing thinking, then I would love to help you. This is one of the number one things that I help clients do, and I would love to help you too. So if you want to learn more about what this would look like for you in particular, then I would love to chat. So you can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And you'll find a day and time on my calendar that works for you. And we'll talk through, where are you now? What's going on? We're going to look at a variety of different areas. I was actually just talking with a guy a couple days ago and telling him, hey, it's not just about the food. We're going to look at things like energy levels, stress, sleep, water. You know, how do you feel in your body? Tell me about your relationships, about your career. Do you feel fulfilled in these different areas? Because it's really about building the life and body you crave so that your primary source of joy, pleasure, or relaxation is not at the bottom of a bag of chips or at the bottom of a tub of ice cream. Full disclosure, I did this too for a long time. And I'm here to offer you a better way. There's a better way to do this, and I will show you how. You ready? All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. I can't believe we're going to be into April here before I know it. It's crazy to think about it, but I hope y'all are having a wonderful week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.